The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Looking forward to this. UFC 261 from Jacksonville is coming up. An absolutely stacked card with three titles on the line. Prelims start 8 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes, with the main card beginning 10 Eastern on pay-per-view. To order in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. All right, guys, meanwhile on planet Earth, I want you all just to have a moment of appreciation for the big fella. Okay, so a few minutes ago, while we were doing this show, Booger McFarland, the backdrop behind him went down. He lost the backdrop that was behind him, probably in a similar way to what whatever. There we go. And so there's Booger, and it goes down. And guys, I just wanted to see, look at the big fella working on it. Look at Booger. He's clicking through options there. Look at that. He's got a menu up. He's trying to find the backdrop, looking for those bricks. We need the bricks. Booger, find the bricks, and then finally, oh, there they go. Look at you, big fella. How about that? That was very adroit of you.
Hey, whatever that word means, Greeny, I'm just trying to fix it here at the house. It's what happens when you do TV at home in 2021. I can't wait to get to Cleveland. That way I don't have to do this next week. Somebody else can do it for me.
No. I don't know that you realize that, but you're actually doing that. I've been told. We had a meeting yesterday. You unfortunately weren't able to attend that. You were out playing golf, working on that driver. And yeah, it turns out you're going to be doing all this. You're doing all the tech stuff for us next Thursday night as well.
I'm looking forward to it, buddy. Hey, but hey, that was pretty quick, though. I'm proud of myself because I'm not a tech-savvy guy, and I thought that was pretty quick.
I'd still be sitting there in the dark. With that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up as we come to you live, as always, from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We are brought to you by Chase, and here comes our number two. It is time to get up with another Philly special. Why everything we assumed we knew about the Eagles' plans might suddenly be off the table. We'll explain. Meanwhile, we'll also explain why the Cowboys might have the most important pick in round one. It could reshape everything. What will they do? And then once and for all, I'll tell you where all these guys need to wind up. It's Mike's Mock, and it's on the way in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now. Not really with the draft as much as just with the Eagles in general and their plans at quarterback, and they trade away Carson Wentz, and we all think we know that man Jalen Hurts is going to become the starter, but not so fast, says their head coach Nick Sirianni and their general manager Howie Roseman yesterday. Listen to them talking about the quarterback position.
To name any starters at this particular time, we've been working with these guys for 2 days. Right. We've been working with these guys for 2 days. My biggest thing is competition. It's again, we've talked a little bit about my core values. It's my second core value. It's this team's second core value. Competition's a huge thing. And we're going to have competition at every position.
You know, like we talked about when we had our last media opportunity, we're going to evaluate every player and nothing is off the table.
Nothing is off the table. Well, right now, these are the two quarterbacks on the roster, and it does seem like sort of your classic construction. The young guy that you think has some potential on the left there in Jalen Hurts, and then the steady veteran who's ready to step in the event of emergency, and if nothing else, could act as a great bridge quarterback, and that's Joe Flacco. And we know that he has designs on the starting job, and we'll see how that plays out. But one way or another, Kimberly, as Sirianni is sitting there saying it's a core value, and you got Howie Roseman saying nothing is off the table, I just want to ask you what the actual heck is going on in Philadelphia.
Greeny, I don't think anybody knows for sure what will happen with Philly because Howie Roseman is the wild card. What I can tell you when it comes to their draft picks, this is a first-time head coach in Nick Sirianni. So he's not going to be taking any chances when it comes to finding the right guys to fit the culture that he wants to build. Last year's culture, under Doug Peterson, it was fractured. It wasn't great. Sirianni is coming in and trying to build it from the ground up. He's got to create a foundation. So part of building that foundation is these core values that he keeps talking about. He said competition, character is big, but when it comes to Jalen Hurts, all indications point to Jalen Hurts being QB1 because, as we've talked about ad nauseum, they got rid of Carson Wentz knowing they had Jalen Hurts. But to name him the outright starter right now, I wasn't surprised because if your core value is competition, you want all those guys to buy into that coach speak, and you have Joe Flacco on the roster, a guy who's thinking he can compete as well, you're not going to name Jalen the starter right now, but all indications point to him being the starter.
That's reasonable. And Lewis is a perfect example of pay no attention to what people say. Just look at what they do. Not only do they trade away Wentz, they traded out of the sixth spot in this draft. If they wanted a quarterback, they were in prime position to take one and chose, opted not to, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you would think so, right? But, I mean, if you're going to put all your eggs in the basket of a guy who has four career starts, barely completed over 52% of his passes, and his touchdown to interception ratio is basically almost 1-1. And I understand that those are very baseline statistics that aren't very advanced in terms of metrics. But I think we also have to look at how he performed on the football field and kind of like, you know, subjectively evaluate him. Of course you shouldn't just throw all your eggs in his basket. Of course everything should be on the table. So then why the heck did you move out of the sixth spot? Why are you sitting down there at 12? Why are you now all of a sudden everyone's talking about core values and we're going to evaluate everything and everything's on the table and blah, blah, blah. Look, I understand that people are getting tired of talking about the draft and they want to get to it at this point. They kind of want to stop trying to explain what the, you know, potentially they're going to do instead of just doing it. But the one thing I will say is this. Look, if in Philadelphia, if you think Nick Sirianni is going to decide exactly what's going on at quarterback going forward, then you know what I've got some I got some land to sell you somewhere in some foreign country somewhere that you know may have a whole lot of value. Nick Sirianni is not deciding the future of the quarterback position in Philly. Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie are deciding the future of the quarterback position in Philadelphia. I don't care what Nick Sirianni says; he's not deciding anything. So right now, if you really want to know what they're going to do in the draft, I don't know. I guess you should call the NovaCare complex and see if you can get the general manager and the owner on the phone because no one really knows. They're the ones who set the course of that franchise and where it's going forward, and we're all just going to have to sit by and wait for them to make that decision.
All right, hold on, everybody. I need to follow up on that because when San Francisco is going through this exercise, Lewis, all I ever hear from everybody is, at the end of the day, Kyle will decide who he wants. That's Kyle Shanahan. He's the coach. Mm-hmm. So that's one way of doing mm-hmm. things. You're telling me that's not the way they do things in Philadelphia?
No, it's not the way things are done there. Look, Kyle Shanahan, that's a whole different power structure out there in San Francisco. And that's not to say that John Lynch doesn't play an integral role in team building out there. John Lynch is very, very well respected. People across the league have nothing but respect for him. And him and Kyle work hand in hand. But I think, look, in every organization, someone carries the big hammer. Someone is really the guy who, at the end of the day, is going to make the call. And I don't think there's any question that in San Francisco, Kyle's going to be that guy. In Philadelphia, that's not the way it is. Look, we all know how things have gone there. We all know the reporting that has come out of there. I used to work there. So, I get it. And look, Nick Sirianni being a first-time head coach, the general manager having been there as long as he's been there in Philadelphia, Jeffrey Lurie owning that football team as long as he has owned it, those are the guys who are setting the course of that franchise, and what they want to do ultimately is what they're going to do. And this is a football team that has been offensive-minded. That's why when we're talking about linebackers being drafted, a guy like Micah Parsons in the first round, I'd be shocked if that happens because it's never happened since Jeffrey Lurie has owned that football team and even before. But make no mistake about it. They are driving the bus there. Nick Sirianni is the head coach, but he is not driving anything as far as I'm concerned.
It's also strange to me, Booger, because, I mean, the original conventional wisdom was they hired Sirianni because he was sort of Frank Reich Jr., and that's what would work with Carson Wentz, and then they trade Carson Wentz. So that was all kind of confusing in the first place. How do you see the whole situation, Booger, as you sit back and take all this in? What's in your mind?
Yeah, Green. I think originally that may have been their plan, but then the quarterback got to a point where he just didn't want to be there, so you have to adjust your plans. Green, I always say this. The guy that owns the team ultimately makes decisions. Jeffrey Lurie came out and said, hey, I've instructed this front office to build around this year Jalen Hurts. So guess what? Regardless of what Nick Sirianni says, regardless of what Howie Roseman says, when the guy that's writing the check says what we're going to do, if you want to continue to be employed there, you're going to follow his lead. So that's what they're going to do. I get it. They're going to talk a lot of stuff between now and then. But Greeny, Jeffrey Lurie has told them what to do. And as a matter of fact, Greeny, I'll tell you this. Anytime a new coach comes to an organization, think about this. I was in Tampa when John Gruden came there. And we had three, four, five potential Hall of Famers on the defense. And in his first meeting, here's what he said. Hey, guys, hey, there's no spot guaranteed. I want to see guys compete. I want everybody to compete. And that was during a time where the voluntary program was kind of voluntary mandatory, so everybody had to show up. And here's a new coach coming in telling future Hall of Famers like Derrick Brooks and Warren Sapp and John Lynch, hey, we got to compete. That's just what coaches do. And so there's no surprise in Nick Sirianni saying, hey, I want competition. That's what new coaches do to everybody because they want to create an environment. But make no mistake, when the owner says, here's what we're doing, if you want to work there, you're going to do what the owner says do.
I get that 100%. But Marty Schottenheimer said to me when he worked here, if the players are looking over the coach's shoulder to the owner, the coach has no chance to succeed. And if that's the situation in Philadelphia, that's what you're dealing with. Go ahead, Lewis, real quick.
No, I mean, you're absolutely right. Look, you can't manage the football team from the boardroom typically. I mean, Bill Walsh said that long ago, that is not a healthy way to really run a franchise. And Bill Walsh is a Hall of Famer. Bill Walsh is really the guy who everybody looks to as far as his teachings, as far as how to set up a championship organization. But I think we all know, look, the information and the reporting coming out of it, we know what the dynamic is there, is my point here. So whatever that they want to do, whatever the two primary decision makers in Philadelphia want to do, regardless of who the head coach is, that's what's going to happen. So I'm not trying to, like, you know, really undermine Nick Sirianni because I don't know him. And quite honestly, you know, that book is yet to be written. But Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie are making the call here. And those are the people we need to focus on as far as the message that's coming out of the NovaCare complex.
All right, let's leave that there for the moment. Much more as we go. But let me get you to the game of the night in the NBA last night. We're talking about Philly. Well, this involves the Philadelphia 76ers, and that would be Joel Embiid's team taking on the Suns. It's a good game. Second quarter, Sixers up three, and look at Embiid just bullying his former teammate Dario Saric. Doesn't have a chance. Embiid had 18 and 10 in the first half. But then let's take you to where the game is decided. Fourth quarter, minute to play. Sixers are down six. More from Joel, having an MVP season. It's a four-point game. He had 38 points, 17 boards. Suns now on the other end, under 20 seconds to go. Shot clock winding down. Devin Booker looking for space. Got it on a tough fall away. He had 19. It's a six-point game. 5 seconds to go now. Sixers are down five. Furkan Korkmaz gets the inbound, throws it up. It's good. It's a two-point game with 2 seconds left. Suns got to get it in. Suns got to get it in. Can they get it in? Yes, they do. Chris Paul, who scored 28, can go to the line and ice it with 2 free throws. Made the first, missed the second, and watch this. Joel Embiid. Oh, it's that close. Let me show you just how close Embiid came to tying the game. Look at that. It is all the way in and then out, and the Suns hang on to win by just that much. 116-113, and with that, the Sixers' lead in the East narrows just a half a game up on Brooklyn, 3.5 up on Milwaukee. According to our analytics, the Nets still have the best chance to come out of the East and make it to the finals. Coming up, Jerry Jones needs to put the D back in Big D. How he can change everything in this draft with just one pick on Thursday night. Plus, we've seen Mel's mock. We've seen McShay's mock. Now it's time for Mike's mock. I'll tell you where all these quarterbacks should end up. In this hour, it's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, let's play a little game here on GetUp called What Should They Do? Kimberly Martin, what should the Bears do in this draft?
Bears, you need to trade up for a QB by any means necessary. Are you not the same organization that moved heaven and earth to get Mitch Trubisky? This is not the time to be shy, Chicago. I don't care what you do. Call up the Lions, call up the Panthers, and don't get off the phone until you get the 7th or 8th pick.
I like that. They got to get all the way up from 20, but I like the thinking. Lewis, I'm next to you. How about the Steelers? What should Pittsburgh do?
Yeah, when you talk about building football teams inside out and front to back, this really pertains to the Pittsburgh Steelers because they have been they have become a football team along the offensive line that just does not have the firepower. They just don't have the bodies to be able to control the line of scrimmage, whether it be run blocking or pass blocking. Ben Roethlisberger and this offense suffered last year because they were deficient up front. Mike Tomlin talked about it. They better get themselves an offensive lineman in the first round.
Yeah, you're seeing video of Penei Sewell and Rashawn Slater. Neither of them will be there at 24. Booger, Cowboys at 10. What do they do?
Well, Greeny, they got to go on defense as bad as that defense was last year. I'm thinking cornerback. If there was a defensive lineman, a guy that could rush the passer that was there from a talent standpoint that would fit where they pick, I would say take him. But if not, take the cornerback, help that defense. Patrick Surtain, whichever one that they think fits what Dan Quinn wants to do, but it's got to be defense as bad as they were last year.
That's the challenging part of this, isn't it, Lewis? That where they sit at 10, there just isn't a pass rusher, which I think we would all identify as their primary need. There just isn't anyone there that is probably worth a selection at 10. So does corner make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. And you know what? I mean, a lot. You don't want to reach for players. You don't want to inflate players, you know, if you don't have to. Obviously, in this kind of situation, if they really do want to go defense, I think the ideal situation would be for them to trade down a little bit and still get the player that they want. But at the end of the day, if you wind up drafting someone there and you do reach a little bit, as long as they wind up being a productive player and overall improve the performance of the defense, then I don't think anybody's going to care 3 or 4 years from now. So I think a guy like Patrick Surtain obviously has to be square in their sights as far as someone who could give them bang for the buck at a critical position in the secondary that they need severely. You know, defensive line, pass rusher is something that is it's an intriguing position here because, again, I mean, you've heard me talk about this guy over and over again, Jalen Phillips from Miami. Look, I know teams are scared to draft him this high, and then rightfully so, given some of his medical history, but he's the one guy who's a wild card as far as pass rushers are concerned, as far as where ultimately does he fall, where ultimately do teams feel as though he presents good value for them, because I don't see it being a guy like Kwity Paye being this high. So Dallas is in one of those. They're in one of those positions right now where they can't necessarily get the player that they want at the right value that they want at a position that they want. So what do? I guess we just have to stay tuned next Thursday.
Yeah, Jalen Phillips medically retired at UCLA, came back at Miami and had a huge year last year. But Kimberly, the fun in this, of course, is imagining Jerry Jones in that room, seeing some of these offensive weapons on the board and thinking, you know, I think maybe it's more fun if we go get that guy. What do you think are the chances that happens?
Greeny, I love draft day anarchy. I like mock drafts just being burned to shreds because it's fun. You want to be watching and think like, oh, snap. And when we're talking about Kyle Pitts, like, would the Cowboys, would Jerry actually move up to get a Kyle Pitts? And you have that thought. It's almost like that meme GIF where it's like, I don't know. Like, you can make any argument for Jerry Jones doing something wild and crazy because it's Jerry Jones. Clearly, we all know the Cowboys' needs are on the defensive side of the ball, pass rush corner. Boog and Lewis have talked about it. We've talked about it. They've got to get better on defense. But at 10, they should stay there, and the best player available, if it's offensive, I don't know.
So Booger. Let's just give everyone a preview. Again, none of us expect it to happen. But if when we're sitting there next Thursday night, Roger walks up and says, we have a trade. The Dallas Cowboys have moved up to number 4 with the Atlanta Falcons, and they take Kyle Pitts. Give us a preview, Booger. What are you going to say?
I'm not going to say anything, Green. I'll probably just get up and walk off because to me that'll be a disaster. I mean, understand this. Listen, Greeny. When you have the offensive weapons that they have, you have Zeke Elliott, you have Amari Cooper, yes. CeeDee Lamb. Like, how many more weapons do you need? You only have one ball. And, oh, by the way, did we not have a defense that was terrible last year? Yeah, I'll get up and walk off, and then I'll come back after Lewis and Mel give their dissertation. I'll come back and say what a terrible pick it was, and whoever made the pick in the room, whether it was Steven or Jerry Jones, need to actually look themselves in the mirror and fire themselves.
All right, I'm not letting you go anywhere, but I'm hoping it happens because it would be fun to see the reaction. Meanwhile, there's a lot of pressure, obviously, on all of these teams, but which team is under the most pressure to get it right this year? Let's go around the horn here on that question. And Kimberly, I'll start with you. What team do you think is feeling the most pressure?
Come on, Greeny. It's the 49ers. You know why? Because I've spent the last 6 months talking about who they're going to get in this draft. Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance. Whoever it is, they need to make sure that they get a franchise-defining player. This is not, don't just use this pick to get a guy, a pretty good guy. No, get an incredible guy based on the amount of time we spent talking about who they should pick.
Boog, how about you? Who's got the most pressure?
Greeny, I think it's the Dallas Cowboys. And I think as soon as you pay Dak Prescott that contract, and he's now making $40 million a year, I think the clock is ticking. And make no mistake, this is not an extension. This is a contract. He starts that contract this season, Greeny. So the clock is ticking. They got to fix that defense. And it's imperative that they figure out a way not only to win, but they need to win big in Dallas based on Jerry and all the expectations that they have.
Lewis Riddick, you have lived this stuff. You know what it feels like. Who's feeling it the most?
Well, it's easily San Francisco because the expectations are so high for this football team. Many believe as though this football team, when it's 100% healthy, is Super Bowl caliber, Super Bowl worthy, and they are. And they became basically within the throw of winning the Super Bowl 2 years ago with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. Yep. So obviously, if they're going to move up to three in order to draft the quarterback, then the guy that they pick has to be the difference maker, has to be the guy that puts them over the top at that position, the guy who can make a play that Jimmy couldn't, the guy who can do things that maybe Jimmy couldn't. And we're not just talking physically, maybe we're talking mentally. So they have to nail this pick. They have to manage the expectations going forward as far as how soon this guy is ready to play. And Kyle and John Lynch know this, so they have to get it right. And I guarantee you there's a lot of sleepless nights going on out there in Santa Clara right now.
I get it, and I see what you're all saying, but I would circle it all the way back to the beginning of this conversation and say it's the Chicago Bears because of the pressure to get something right there quickly. We know how hot the seat is for both the coach and the general manager, and they kind of need to do the impossible. They need to get from 20 all the way to a place where they can get one of the quarterbacks everyone seems to want in this draft. At least that's what we assume they want to do, and I'm not 100% sure there's a path for them to do it. So we will see. There's a lot of pressure on a lot of teams. That's who we think has the most. And we will remind you, we got a great ESPN lineup coming your way this weekend. Saturday afternoon, the Sixers square off against the Bucks. Then Saturday night, UFC 261 on pay-per-view. Three titles on the line. Prelims start at 8, ESPN and ESPN Plus. Sunday afternoon, the Nets host the Suns, and our Sunday night matchup on baseball is the series finale between the rival Padres and the Dodgers. What a weekend here on the ESPN family of networks. Meanwhile, our ESPN cover story is brought to you by Principal Financial. And today's cover story features UFC welterweight champion Kamaru Usman, who is one of the sport's most dominant figures. He is known as the Nigerian Nightmare. He arrived to the U.S. at just 8 years old. He went on to secretly join his high school wrestling team, unbeknownst to his unapproving parents. It sparked a journey the likes of which the UFC had never seen before, as Usman became the first African-born champion in history. Usman's next fight is this Saturday on ESPN+. You can see the ESPN cover story on ESPN+ and on SportsCenter today. Meanwhile, as we continue in a moment, once and for all, I will tell you where all these guys should wind up. Forget Mel. Forget McShay. It's Mike's Mock, and it's on the way. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, so we are back on Get Up. And here's the deal. I've been watching Mel and McShay do this all my life. And so I decided I'm doing my own mock draft. And here comes my top 10. These are the picks I would make. Now, again, the first two are so in stone, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, that not to put those two where they are would make the rest of it completely irrelevant. So I put them there. And then at number three, I have the 49ers taking Trey Lance, the prospect from North Dakota State. We know about all of the numbers. We know about all the intangibles. We know about all the question marks, but that's where I go. At number four, I'm forecasting a trade. And I've got the Broncos moving up from number nine to number four to take Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields. I think Denver is going to be more aggressive than most of the forecasters I've seen. And then at number five, Cincinnati. Don't overthink this. Take the offensive tackle and keep your young quarterback upright. Take Penei Sewell from Oregon. If not, take Rashawn Slater. Whatever you do, don't take a receiver. And so here are my top 10. Once again, these are the picks as I would make them, taking the first two out of it because, once more, those are so in stone, it would be a waste of time not to do it. I have Trey Lance going three, Justin Fields going four to Denver, then Penei Sewell, then the Dolphins hit the jackpot with Kyle Pitts falling to them at six. I'm taking Ja'Marr Chase for the Lions, who need a receiver at seven. Carolina needs to protect their new quarterback, Rashawn Slater, at eight. Micah Parsons is the best defensive player in this draft. I put him at nine to Atlanta. And yesterday, Ryan Clark said he thinks J.C. Horn by a hair is a better prospect than Patrick Surtain. That's good enough for me. If RC says it, I'll go that way. And so I gave him to the Cowboys at number 10. There we go, Mel. You made this an art form. What do you think?
Hey, you don't like Alabama Crimson Tide players, Grinny, do you? You got Mac Jones still on the board. You got Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle still available. I think at eight at Carolina, you haven't taken Slater. You would take Slater. The receivers, Moore and Anderson only have one more year on the contract, so maybe you go wide out there over the offensive line. Either way, I think they can't lose. But if that scenario worked out that way, New England will be sitting there saying, let's go get Mac Jones. Let's not wait to 15. Let's go get Mac Jones. That would be something I think would be ideal for the New England Patriots if he fell that far.
Repeating my philosophy, when you're choosing between an offensive tackle and a wide receiver, you take the tackle 100% of the time. Lewis, what do you think?
Yeah, look, I agree with you as far as that philosophy is concerned. We already talked about that as far as team building. But if this were to play out and the guy who's on your screen right now, Mac Jones, does fall, I can promise you the people in New England, that whole region, the whole Northeast region will be screaming at the TV, go get him, Bill, go get him. And he will go get him. He'll go get him if that happens. And I think it could be one of those situations where, maybe more so than any other team as far as fit is concerned, that is exactly what New England would want. And that is exactly what they would need as far as how they construct that offense and how they want to play. And philosophically, I think he would fit right into what, he'd basically be going to the same culture that he would be leaving in Alabama. Because Bill and Nick had basically built their programs exactly the same, since that one's in college, one's in the pros, one has a salary cap, one can recruit as many five stars as they want. It would just be perfect for them. And if it plays out that way, I think you could absolutely say New England has won the offseason in a way that maybe no one else has ever won it.
Well, let me throw this at you there on that thought, Lewis, and for all of you guys. You played for Bill Belichick, Lewis. I've just followed him. Bill Belichick does not pay a high price for anything. To me, the idea that Bill is going to move up into the top 10 seems extraordinarily unlikely. Now, if this scenario does unfold and Mac Jones is sitting there at 12 or 13, then I see him doing it. But to give up what he would have to give up to get to number eight in Carolina, I'll have to see that to believe it. If that happens, it will be unprecedented in his history. Lewis, what do you think of that?
Sure, that makes total sense. It makes total sense. Look, Bill is very economically driven. There's no secret about that. I think he takes a very analytical approach to making sure that he is getting great value when he moves up and down the draft board. I think this year is unique, only because it's the quarterback position, because not only is he looking at this short term, he's also looking at it long term, and he knows he doesn't have a long term option. If he feels as though the player that he's moving up for is an ideal fit for what he likes to do and how he likes to play and how he likes to make up of his players to look, he may pay a higher price. But if we get past pick 10 and Mac Jones is still on the board, I don't think there's any doubt his phone is going to be very, very busy, and he's going to be trying to strike a deal that maybe he'll pay a premium with. Maybe he'll pay a price that he's never paid before, simply because that pick would make just too much sense.
All right, and then Booger, let me come to you on the first big decision that I had to make here, and that is that I put Trey Lance from North Dakota State at 3, not Mac Jones, as Vegas says, and basically everyone is telling me, but to me it just makes too much sense. Everyone we talk to, you and I are talking to the same people in this process, says that Trey Lance, if developed properly, might have as high an upside, a high a ceiling as any quarterback in this draft. And I can't think of a better situation for him to walk into. It is basically Mahomes revisited than to go to San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan, where he can sit for a year behind Jimmy Garoppolo and then take the reins. And I think you might have the Mahomes situation playing itself out again on the West Coast. That's my thinking, Booger. What do you think?
Yeah, Greeny, I'm on record saying that if you're going to trade what the San Francisco 49ers traded up, which is 3 first-round picks to come up to the number 3 spot, you're not coming up to get a guy that's going to manage the game. You're coming up to get a guy that you can put in a spot that'll win the game for you. And I know Mac Jones may be the most NFL ready, but Kyle Shanahan has come out and said that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be their quarterback. So they're preparing to have Jimmy Garoppolo. I would either go Justin Fields or Trey Lance. I like what you're thinking there, Greeny, because if you're going to come up, then you got to get a guy that has Hall of Fame potential. And the percentages say that it's going to be a dynamic athlete based on where the game of football is going right now. It's not going backwards. It's not going to Drew Brees or Tom Brady. The game is coming forward. The college game is giving us athletic dual threat quarterbacks that when the offensive coordinator calls a play and the defense makes a play, the quarterback can now make the offensive coordinator right. And by all accounts, Mac Jones can't do that. Either Trey Lance or Justin Fields can do that. So I like what you're thinking. You've been on this Trey Lance train, Greeny, from the beginning.
I'm going to die on that hill. Booger just froze. But ahead, Mel, take the final thought on that one, because that decision.
I want to go back to New England, guys. This isn't Bill Belichick, you know, saying, oh, he's never done this, he's never done that. He had Tom Brady. He had Drew Bledsoe, then he went to Tom Brady. When you have Tom Brady, and Todd McShay made this point yesterday, I'm only trading up to get a quarterback. That's it. Well, you didn't have to worry about it. You had Tom Brady. Now you don't have Tom Brady. I don't care what New England did all those years with Bill Belichick when he had Tom Brady. You don't have him anymore. You got to go up and get that quarterback. Can you imagine what would happen, guys, if one of those quarterbacks, whether it's Fields, Lance, or Jones, slides into that 10 spot and somebody else gets them, that fifth quarterback off the board, New England sitting there with nothing. I mean, can you imagine if that happened? I don't think it happens, but if it did, I think Patriot fans are going to be really upset.
I get it, but I mean, a lot of these things come down to grade. Mel, it wasn't all that long ago that you had Mac Jones projected in the back end of the first round, and now all of a sudden like that, everyone is willing to give up 2 number ones to go get him. I'm having a very hard time getting it through my head. Tell me how it makes sense, super quick.
Well, it makes sense because he's this Joe Burrow this year. And I think if you look at the way he improved from what he was each year and the way he never missed a beat after Waddle and Dickerson were hurt is the reason why. And I brought it up. I said he's what Tom Brady was coming out of. I love what Tom Brady became, what he was coming out of Michigan. And I'm with you. Brady was a late sixth round pick. Now it's a third pick overall. But that certainly, that comp helped Mac Jones immensely.
All right, we shall see. It's when you start comparing people to the greatest outlier in the history of the sport, I'm not sure that's a great practice, but we will see. That's my mock. Have at it as you will. As we continue, a draft prospect who some are calling an all-time great before he plays it down in the NFL. And guess what? He's not a quarterback. We'll tell you who he is right after this. And then, Booger, Hembo is coming for you. Who is the highest drafted wide receiver to come out of the University of Alabama? That is the question, and the answer is next. The recipe for a winning team attracting the best talent. And the same, of course, is true in the workplace. Isn't that right, Johnny?
Exactly, Greeny. At Sherm, we believe the most successful companies invest in their employees by building positive cultures rooted in inclusion, expert guidance, and effective training practices.
It just stands to reason that players will seek out the organizations that provide them with the tools to be their absolute best.
And I couldn't agree more, paving the way for future leaders all across America. So join Sherm as we create a world of work that works for all. It takes baby steps, Let's start by reducing hiring bias, training managers, and guaranteeing an equitable and inclusive workforce. Take your first step. Become a SHRM member today to get the tools you need.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and here we go, Booger. I got faith in you. I think you got this. Who is the highest drafted wide receiver to come out of Alabama?
Well, Greeny, for lack of a better answer, because I can't think back of anyone else. I know Julio Jones went 6th overall to the Falcons. They traded up a ton of picks for him. That's the highest that I can come up with, but something tells me that's the obvious answer. So Himbo's probably going back to the 1970s to get someone else. So Julio Jones, final answer.
It's actually more recent. It was Amari Cooper who went number 4 in 2015. Cooper went 4. Julio went 6. And then last year, Henry Ruggs went 12 and Jerry Jeudy went 15. Score 1 for Hembo in that matchup against Booger. Meanwhile, let's go either or here with some draft decisions. Lewis, you got the option of Trey Lance or Mac Jones. Which way do you go?
Gotta hate this choice, Greeny, because these are two of my favorites. Man, I'm going with Trey Lance. I'm going with the upside. I'm going with what my intel is telling me as far as this guy's makeup, his football intellect, his football intelligence, his ability to digest information on top of all that wonderful athletic ability. I think the upside is just through the roof. I understand that the floor may be a little bit lower because of his sample size, but I'm going with Trey Lance in this one. Just
Mel,
by a hair.
Next, the Bama receivers, Waddle or Devontae Smith? Who you got?
I think you put Chase, Waddle, and Smith on a wheel, spin the wheel, pick one, and be happy. Whatever it falls, you'll be happy with it. I'm going to go slightly to Devontae Smith over Jalen Waddle, with Jamar Chase as my second highest. Waddle is my third, but they all basically have the same grade. I just love Devontae Smith. I want this kid on my football team.
And then finally, Booger, weapons, Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase. Who you got?
Well, Greedy, since this is a deep wide receiver draft, and I think I may not be able to get a wide receiver as talented as Jamar Chase, I can get an explosive weapon later on, whether it's Elijah Moore, Kadarius Toney, somebody that can be a playmaker. There is only one tight end in this draft worthy of being called Weapon X, and that is Kyle Pitts. So I'm going to have to take Kyle Pitts, and I'm going to put him in the middle of the field. He's going to be a matchup nightmare for any linebacker, safety, corner, whoever you put on him. He is one of one in this draft. That's why I take Kyle Pitts.
Well, let's take a closer look at that. Mel, middle of the afternoon yesterday, while NFL Live is on ESPN, my phone blows up with people saying, did you hear what Mel said? Did you hear what Mel said? For those who didn't, what did you say about Kyle Pitts on NFL Live yesterday?
I said he would be the number one receiver in this draft, and certainly a guy that is the best tight end I've ever graded in 43 years. And that's not a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise. He's 6'6", 245 pounds. He runs 4.45, and he's a tremendous nightmare to try to match up with. And I think if you get the right coordinator that's creative and can move him around, I don't know how anybody covers Kyle Pitts. And a quarterback, throw it up and let him be a power forward. Yes, to me, he's a unique talent. He's once in a decade type of player. I'm with Bug. I think you take him over the three receivers who I love. I think they're all great, but Pitts is special, and he doesn't come along very often. The other guys you can find, you cannot find a Kyle Pitts. You may not ever find a Kyle Pitts again. Who knows? I like Kenny Yeboah, though, from Ole Miss in the 4th, 5th, 6th round, but Kyle Pitts is a special entity.
Well, let's not sort of gloss right over that. You're saying in the 43 years that you have been doing the draft for ESPN, this is the best tight end you've ever seen?
No doubt. No doubt. And like I say, you don't see, you know, guys like this come along that have that type of size, that type of speed. You're talking about when Kellen Winslow came out of Miami, he was 4'6". This is a 4'4", 5'40 guy who's 6'6", not 6'4". So you just can't underestimate the athleticism, the physicality, a book term, of a guy like Kyle Pitts in terms of how do you cover him? How do you match up with him? And to me, yeah, there's some cover guys out there, but they're not enough. And luckily this year, guys, I will say this. Wide receiver and Kyle Pitts all in one is a phenomenal group coming in, those pass catchers. Well, the second best position is cornerback. So luckily the NFL has some corners, so we won't see 65 to 62 games moving forward in the NFL.
We'll see about that. But Lewis, let me come to you again on that. The idea that for those who haven't really seen him much, Kyle Pitts, to call him a tight end is almost unfair to him. He lines up all over the field. He does things. He's almost should change his position to offensive weapon, right? Because he doesn't just do the things that tight ends do.
Yeah, and I think what kind of signifies that is this. Teams were not trying to put safeties and linebackers on him. Teams were trying to put their corners on him, as you see right here. Against Georgia, look, they knew better than to try and put a safety on him. He's just too long, he's too rangy, and he's too fast. And when you watch him run routes, whether it be a traditional hard cut route like a slant or a comeback or a curl, or it's the speed out where you don't see them put their foot in the ground and make a sharp 90-degree angle, but they roll the break, they roll it with speed. This guy is like as smooth as water. I mean, it's just so easy. And look, as someone who played in an era where there were some pretty good tight ends, and my very first start in the NFL came against a guy named Keith Jackson, who was an all-pro when he was with Miami and Dan Marino was down there. And I went up against some of these guys. I would have been like sweating bullets and doing you know what in my pants if I had to match up against this guy. Because he's much faster than me. He's taller than me. He has the... you know, the wingspan of a power forward in the NFL. I mean, I'm just like, well, what am I supposed to do with a guy like this? What am I supposed to do? There aren't defensive backs who are 6'6", 240, who run 4'3". So one-on-one, he's going to beat you. The only thing that will stop Kyle Pitts is himself or an offensive coordinator who doesn't belong in the NFL. Those are only two things that will stop him. Himself or a coach who doesn't know how to utilize him. Because other than that, there isn't a defender who's going to stop him one-on-one. It's just that simple.
You know, Booger, Teddy Bruschi was on here like 2 weeks ago, and he said, if we're playing man and that guy's on the field, I go to the sideline and say, Coach, take me out. Like, I can't be on the field right now if we're in man and that guy's on the field. I haven't heard a guy like Teddy Bruschi say anything like that about anybody before. Boog.
Yeah, Greeny, he's a matchup nightmare. And I'm very interested to see what's going to happen when he gets to the next level because I got a feeling that defensive coordinators are not going to treat him like a tight end. They're going to treat him like a wide receiver. So if he's on the field and it's 11 personnel, we're just basically going to say now it's four wide receivers and we're going to match up and maybe put our best corner or our biggest cornerback on him, somebody that has the skills to stay with him and maybe not the size, but they have the skills. That's going to be the key because if I told you, and here's what I would bring up, Mel. If I told you Kyle Pitts is a receiver, I don't know if we would be raving about him. But since he's a tight end, and from a matchup standpoint, we know who matches up with tight ends, I think that's why we're looking at him. But if I treat him as a receiver, we've seen big receivers in this league before, and DBs have matched up against him that way.
Yeah, I'd go to Harold Carmichael. I remember number 17 with the Philadelphia Eagles with Ron Jaworski. Jaws were on the Harold Carmichael was a tremendous player. But to Kyle Pitts, guys, we talk about guys that become great. But Kyle Pitts became great. Up until this year, you know, he was a talent, but he had some inconsistencies. Had a drop every now and then. This year, he eliminated all that. He caught everything. So I wouldn't have been speaking about him in these glowing terms, these historic terms. It wasn't for the way he played this year as opposed to the last couple where he was really good but not spectacular like he was in 2020.
Harold Carmichael, we're going back 50 years for comparisons to Kyle Pitts. All right, I'll take a quick break here. We'll come back with a whole lot more. How low might they go? That's the question. What is the absolute latest we might see any of these big five quarterbacks go off the board? That is the question, and we're going to answer it next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are just 4 minutes away from the start of First Take, and they're on the way with Steph Curry's streak. It's over, but did he prove to be the great offensive weapon in the NBA? Plus, Alabama prospect Najee Harris will join the show live. It's Stephen A. Max and Molly. They're coming up in just a few minutes here on ESPN as we are 1 week away from the NFL draft. And Las Vegas just can't make up its mind as they try and consider which quarterback is going to wind up going number three overall. Over the course of the last week, this has just reshuffled multiple times to where right now, once again, at Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill, Mac Jones is the favorite to be the third pick in this draft. One way or another, we think we are as certain as can be that quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, and 3. And then there's some question about 4, and then we'll see about 5. So, Mel Kiper, once again, this is your ultimate milieu. What is the latest, in your opinion, the absolute latest we could realistically see one of the big 5 quarterbacks go off the board?
I think it's in that 10-11 spot on a trade up. I think that's where you have a team like New England, Chicago, Washington looking to move up. So I would say the latest is that 10-11 area on a trade up.
But the trade up you would think would be higher than 10 or 11, meaning 10 or 11 remains.
No, I think it would be at 10 or 11, at 10 or 11. So that's the lowest I think a quarterback would fall is in that 10-11 spot.
And it's New England you think is moving up there? If that's
New England,
where one
Chicago,
of them
fall. If it gets into that spot, it's New England, Chicago, Washington. All bets are off.
Lewis, what do you think? Because that's expensive to me. We touched on this very briefly earlier. But for Chicago to try and get up to get one of these quarterbacks, that's going to be tough to do. Do you think they're realistically in the mix if we see one of these guys falling?
Yeah, I think they'll make the calls, Granny. I think they'll make the calls. They'll have to make a judgment call about whether or not, you know, when you're talking about Chicago, about whether or not it's worth it to them. And whether, you know, listen, we understand what kind of position that they're in. We understand that both Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace understand that 2021 is it. This is it for them. They've got to make some significant headway, or they may not be around to develop whoever the players are that they draft anyway. I think they understand that. I think, you know, listen, if Bill – look, Mel is right. Bill has never had to be this aggressive before for this position because he had Tom Brady for all those years for 2 decades. So I think now he's in uncharted territory, even for himself. I think maybe even he himself doesn't know how he's going to react in this situation, especially if the quarterback in particular, and he has to like one over the other. Everybody likes somebody over someone else. If the one he really likes falls, you may see him do something unprecedented. You may see him step outside of his comfort zone as far as prices that he's willing to pay to move up. I don't care what position it is. Prices he's willing to pay to move up. He may do that. So it may be 10 being the bottom point for the fifth quarterback to go here. We don't know. That's why it's intriguing. That's why you need to tune in next Thursday. And that's why you need to stay tuned in to ESPN as we get to talk about it.
Oh, that's an outstanding promo. Booger, what do you think? Last spot it could go. What's the latest they could fall?
I think in the top 10, Green. I think history is going to be made. I think we're going to have 5 quarterbacks go in the top 10, regardless of what teams have to move up, what they have to trade up. I think you couple the fact that this quarterback class is really good. On top of next year, we don't know what it's going to be. The prospects that are there aren't rated as high. I just think right now, if you need a quarterback, you have to look out not only this year, but you have to look next year and say, okay, we got to go and make a move right now. 5 go in the top 10 this year, Greeny, and history is made on the lake in Cleveland.
Well, we'll be looking forward to it, and we will be there. The 4 of us will be on the set in Cleveland with you next Thursday night as we bring you round 1 of the NFL draft. And then, of course, Friday night and Saturday, we have it as well. ESPN, ABC, and the NFL Network, all with coverage of the NFL draft from Cleveland, starts 1 week from tonight. Guys, thank you for getting up here. How much fun was this? We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.